Reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 2, Prayers by the Demigods
for Lord Krishna in the womb.
Text number 30.
This is prayer number 5.
Now there's a change of topic.
It turns out these prayers have a structure.
The first four have dealt with the topic of the Absolute Truth,
who is defined and explained in four verses. And now the next four verses will deal with the topic of liberation, freedom from material existence. So this is the first of those.
Translation. O lotus-eyed Lord,
by concentrating one's meditation on your lotus feet, which are the reservoir of all existence, and by accepting those lotus feet as the boat by which to cross the ocean of nations, one follows in the footsteps of Mahajanas, great saints, sages, and devotees. By this simple process, one can cross the ocean of nations as easily as one steps over the hoof print of a cat. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The true mission in life is to cross the ocean of nations, of repeated birth and death. Those in the darkness of ignorance, however, do not know this mission. Instead, being carried away by the waves of material nature, prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha, they are undergoing the tribulations of mrityu samsara vartmani, repeated birth and death. But persons who have achieved knowledge by the association of devotees follow the Mahajanas, Mahatkritena. Such a person always concentrates his mind upon the lotus feet of the Lord and executes one or more of the 9 varieties of devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnam, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam. Simply by this process, one can cross the insurmountable ocean of nescience. Devotional service is powerful in any form. Sri Vishnu Sravane Parikshit Abhavad Vayasaki Kirtane Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.2.6.5. According to this verse, Maharaj Parikshit became liberated by fully concentrating his mind on hearing the Lord's holy name, attributes, and pastimes. Similarly, Shukadeva Goswami simply glorified the Lord, and by speaking on the subject matters of Krishna that constitute the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, he too was liberated. One may also be liberated simply by satya, friendly behavior with the Lord. Such is the power of devotional service, as we learn from the examples set by the Lord's many pure devotees. Swayambhur, Narada, Shambhu, Kumara Kapilo Manu, Prahlado Janako Bhishmo Balir, Vyasaki Vayam, Bhagavatam 6.3.20. We have to follow in the footsteps of such devotees, for by this one easy process one can cross the great ocean of nations, just as one might cross a small hole created by the hoof of a calf. Here the Lord is described as Ambujaksha. Ambujaksha, Akila Sattva Damani, Twai Ambujaksha, or lotus-eyed. By seeing the eyes of the Lord, which are compared to lotus flowers, one becomes so satisfied that one does not want to turn his eyes to anything else. Simply by seeing
The transcendental form of the Lord, the devotee, is at once fully absorbed in the Lord in his heart. This absorption is called samadhi. Dhyana vasitta tatgatena manasa pasyanti yam yoginaha. Bhagavatam 12.13.1. A yogi is fully absorbed in thoughts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for he has no other business than to think of the Lord always within the heart. It is also said, samastita ye padapalava plavam mahatpadam punya yasho murare bhavam bhudir vatsa padam param padam 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 yad vipadam natesham. For one who has accepted the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the shelter of the cosmic manifestation, and is famous as Murari, the enemy of the demon Mura. The ocean of the material world is like the water contained in a calf's hoof print. His goal is Param Padam, or Vaikuntha, the place where there are no material miseries, not the place where there is danger at every step. Bhagavatam 10.14, 58. This process is recommended here by the authorities like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, Swayambhur, Narada, Shambhu, and therefore we must take to this process in order to transcend nescience. This is very easy, but we must follow in the footsteps of great personalities, and then success will be possible. In regard to the word mahatkutain, it is also significant that the process shown by great devotees is not only for them, but also for others. If things are made easy, this affords facility for the person who has made them easy, and also for others who follow the same principles. The process recommended in this verse for crossing the ocean of nescience is easy, not only for the devotee, but also for the common persons who follows the devotee. Mahajano yena gataha sapanta. So, this prayer to the Lord, which the demigods are praying in great happiness, now that the Lord has appeared, they're discussing now the effect of devotional service. Samadhi naveshita chetasaike. By fixing one's mind upon your lotus feet and being absorbed in them, ambuja, aksha, or upon your lotus eyes. Not ordinary, beautiful face, ambujakshikala. Lotus-eyed Lord, akila sattva damne, who is the refuge of all existence, in whom all the cosmic potencies reside. So we've already heard in the last four verses how the Lord is akila sattva damne. So here is this akila sattva damni, the residence of everything, has the ambuja aksha, lotus eye. So if we can somehow or other, by this single process of fixing our mind upon the Lord, here recommending devotional service. So then, tvatpada potena, then by means of, pota means a boat. The boat of your lotus feet, pada means your feet, the boat. So the Lord's feet are now compared to a boat. Mahatkritena, by this process, as executed by the Mahat. So Mahat means the Mahajanas. This Mahatkritina can also mean that by that great action. You can take it different ways, but in the purport, Mahatkritena means that process which is undertaken, executed by the Mahats. Those who do this, then they make the ocean of material existence, bhava abdim, govatsa padam. Govatsa is a calf. Padam means the footprint. So the next verse will more fully explain this boat. But this boat is such that it's a boat for crossing the ocean of material existence. Now otherwise you cannot get across. It is an extremely difficult thing to do. And just you have the same chance as if you dove off the pier in Atlantic City and with an Australian crawl set out for England. Same chances of making it. So the material existence is always compared to an ocean because it is so vast, overwhelming, and dangerous for the living entity. So you need a boat. But even an ordinary boat is subjected to so many difficulties. But in this boat, when you step aboard this boat, this huge ocean of nescience shrinks. And becomes as big as the water that fills the hoof print of a calf. Calf steps, there's a little depression and water collects in that depression. So then you get in the boat, the ocean shrinks, and you get out on the other side. This is illustration. So the Lord has come, and they're thinking now this process of going across this insurmountable ocean of material existence will now be made easier for us. Because when the Lord appears, then also devotional service is given. So this is the powerful process. Prabhupada gives this caveat, this warning. This is very easy. That is the process recommended by these authorities here. It is easy. But there's a caveat. But we must follow in the footsteps of great personalities, and then success will be possible. What is the path to follow? This question was asked to Maharaj Yudhisthira, a famous occasion in the Mahabharata. Maharaj Yudhisthira encountered a yaksha, one of these little followers of Kubera who guards treasures, and the yaksha put to him a series of questions, and one of them was, what is the bandha, what is the path? And so the answer Maharaj Yudhisthira gave, satisfactory answer, Taraka Pratishta Shutayo Vibhinam Nasadrishir Yatta Matam Vibhinam Dharmasya Tattvam Nihitam Guhayam Mahajanali Inagata Sapanta. So first he says, well, it's not the path. So Taraka means rational argument. Taraka apatishta. Rational argument is without foundation. There's actually a similar statement in the Vedanta Sutra 2.1.11, Taraka Pratishtanat. Nothing is established by rational argument. So it's inconclusive. There's no, it cannot establish anything. So Taraka Pratishta. Just to a valid argument form, just put it a technical way, a rational argument in deductive logic can be put in a symbolic form where it works just like mathematics, called mathematical logic. You can symbolize it. So all A's are B, there is A, therefore B. You can just do it like that. All men are mortal, Socrates is a man, therefore Socrates is mortal. All horses are green, this is a horse, therefore this horse is green. That's a valid argument. The trouble is the premise is false, all horses are green. So you can have a valid argument, but still have a false conclusion. Because one or more of the premises may be false. So whenever there's an argument, is always based on premises. And even if it's a valid argument, it can still be false, because one or more of the premises are false. So similarly, if you have a valid argument, say you have a proof for the existence of God, and I hate the conclusion, but the argument is valid, then what I do is I simply decide that the conclusion is so abhorrent that it's worth it to me to reject at least one of the premises. And I can do that. Let's say my argument starts, all events have a cause. I deny that, that's all. You can argue me till I'm blue in the face, but I just hold to my ground. No, there are causes of events. How do you know every event has a cause? I can be a skeptic, you know, and so on. So that's the trouble with argument. You can always, even if it's valid, you can doubt one or more of the premises. So all a valid argument does is establish the price you have to pay to reject the conclusion. It makes it really clear, yes, you have to reject one or more of these premises. Taraka Pratishta. That's why people go on and on and on. Argument is very weak. It has its place. We use logic and argument based on Shastra, but that means that the premises are given by Shastra, so therefore they're sure and certain. But Taraka Pratishta Shrutayo Vibhina. There's a problem with Shastra too, Maharaj Yudhisthira. Vibhina. It exists in different divisions. We prove everything by reference to Srimad Bhagavatam. Amalam Puranam. It's a spotless Purana, right? Where do we find that out? Well, that's in Bhagavatam itself. What do you do when somebody comes along and they say, well, my Shastra is the baby Bhagavatam? They exist in different divisions. There's Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, Upasana Kanda, and there are different followers of different divisions, and we say, this is the conclusive Shastra. They say, no, 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 this is conclusive Shastra. I saw in that Shaivite newspaper, Hinduism Today, they had an article in which they were saying, Bhagavad Gita is very nice, but it is not a Shaivite scripture. Therefore, you shouldn't really accept it. For example, putting party loyalty above truth, you could say, but anyway, that's so Shrutayo Vibhina, the Shrutis, the Vedas, they exist in different divisions. They're Puranas in the mode of goodness, Puranas in the mode of passion, Puranas in the mode of ignorance. So Shrutayo Vibhina, Taraka Pratishta Shrutayo Vibhina. So you can say, well, let me consult the sages. Nasavrisya yasya matam nabinam. And no one who's a sage can be called a sage, is regarded as a sage. No one is regarded as a sage unless he has his own opinion. unless his opinion differs from everybody else's. Otherwise, he's not an expert. Just like legal trials right now in the United States, both the prosecution and defense bring on their equally qualified expert witnesses who say opposite things to bewilder the jury completely. There's two witnesses, each of them have their string of PhDs and credentials and everything else, and letters of testimonial and books they've published, and they're both experts, and they say opposite things. And so your juryman with an eighth grade education has to decide which expert is right. Because to be an expert, you have to have your own judgment. Just like one qualification for writing a PhD dissertation that's accepted is it has to be original. If you merely repeat what the predecessors of the past have said, you'll flunk. So, but this was going on even in Vedic times, in the Sadvrsiyatta Matam Vipinam. He has to have his opinion that differs from everybody else's. So forget going to the sages, to the rishis. You can't. The problem is dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam, that the truths of dharma have taken up residence within the core of the hearts of great personalities. So they're hidden. Guhaya means like they're hidden. Dharmashyatam nihidamte. Guhya means like a, in the heart, but it's like a hidden place. A hidden in the heart. So they're not out there easy to see. So what is the solution? Mahajanayena gata sapanta. The solution is that the path is the panta, the way to go, is that way which has been shown and traversed by the Mahajanas. Mahajanas, the great souls. That's the path. Now, then you say, well, who's a Mahajana? Well, we can take the judgment of one of them, Yamaraj. Prabhupada quotes here in Bhagavatam, Yamaraj actually says the same thing as Yudhisthira when Yamaraj is instructing his followers. They also want to know what is dharma. So he says, dharmam tu shakshat bhagavat pranitam. The path of dharma is given directly by shakshat, directly by Bhagavat, Bhagavat Pranitam. They are enacted by the Supreme Lord Himself. Although fully situated in the mode of goodness, even the great rishis who occupy the topmost planets cannot ascertain the real religious principles. So, same problem, huh? Nor can the demigods or the leaders of the Siddhalokas, to say nothing of the Asuras, ordinary human beings, Vidyadharas and Charanas, they can't find out either. So then he says, that verse which we have quoted here, Swayambhu Narada Shambhu, here's a list of people. Swayambhu means Lord Brahma, Narada, Narada Muni, Shambhu means Lord Shiva, another name for Lord Shiva. Kumara, meaning the four Kumaras, Kapila, Lord Kapila Dev, Manu, Swayambhu Vamanu, Prahlada, Prahlad Maharaj, Janaka, Janaka Maharaj, Bhisma, grandfather Bhisma Dev, Bali, Bali Maharaj, Vyasaki means Shukadev Goswami, this is the son of Vyas, and Vayam, me, what's in the we, ourselves, it's the royal plural, ourselves, and ourselves, this is Yamaraj speaking, so and ourselves. So we 12 know the real principles of religion. Brada Saite Vijani Mo Dharma Bhagavatam Bata. Guyam Vishuddham Durbodham. Guyam, it is very confidential. Again, it's like secret. Guyam Vishuddham, it is transcendental. Durbodham, not easy to understand. Yam jnatva amritam ashnate. But if you know that, then you enjoy amritam, eternal life. So this is the transcendental religious principle, which is what? It is Bhagavad Dharma. He says in the next verse, bhakti yoga bhagavati, devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So these are here given as the Mahajanas. And for us, Srila Prabhupada is similarly Mahajana, to follow in his footsteps. So he says the process is easy, but the caveat is you have to follow the process. Devotional service is not so easy that if you don't do devotional service or only do it part way or halfway, that it is going to be efficacious. It has to be followed carefully. And then you get on aboard this boat, and then that insurmountable ocean of material existence becomes harmless, like a water in the Govatsa Padam, the calf's footprint. Now, here he also quotes another place, Samasita ye padapalava plavam mahatpadam punyayasho morare. This is for one who has accepted the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord. This is another verse, Vatsapadam. Govatsa or Vatsa. Both verses here refer to the hoofprint of a calf. So this is a standard, let me get the word for word. Samastita ye. One who has taken shelter of the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord. Padapallava plavam. Nice alliteration there. Padapallava plavam. Plava is another name for boat. And pallava actually means buds. Lotus buds. Feet which are like the buds of a lotus flower boat. Sanskrit's nice. You can do these things. Padapallava plavam. Mahatpadam, the word padam, not only means foot, but also means shelter or dwelling place. So Mahatpadam, which is the shelter of the Mahats, all those Mahajans, they've taken shelter of the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is Punya Yasho Murari, who is Murari, and who is fame is supremely pious. Bhava Ambuda means the same thing, ocean of material existence. Vatsapadam becomes like the footprint of a calf. And what they achieve is parampadam. Parampadam. Padam, as said, is abode also, means foot, but also abode. Parampadam. Parampadam is the supreme abode. Parampadam. Parampadam is where they go. And padampadam yavipadam natesham. And it's not for them, natesham, this material world. For vipadam is calamities, disasters. Padam padam at every step. Padam padam yad vipadam nate sham. And not for them, this world, where they are at every step, there are calamities. and disasters. So again, in that text from the Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami is speaking this. He uses the same metaphor about this boat. And in both cases, here this boat is called Mahatkriteena. It is taken or engaged by the Mahats, the great souls. Or also to take advantage of it is the greatest thing you can do with your life. It is the greatest deed. Mahatkrita. And also, but the other verse that you, from the 14th chapter, Mahatpadam. It is also the refuge of the Mahats. So, Prabhupada says here, in regard to the word Mahatkritena, it is also significant that the process shown by great devotees is not only for them, but also for others. This is what great devotees can do, is they can make things accessible to others. This is their particular ability. If things are made easy, this affords facility for the person who has made them easy, and also for others who follow the same principles. Like, for example, just in the material world, if you've ever had the experience of a good teacher, they can take a difficult subject matter and make it clear. You have some very complicated thing to learn, and a good teacher will say, you start here and you go this way. And they point out connections and they guide you through, and with the guidance of a teacher, they take something that's difficult and they illuminate it, they make it easy. So first that person has worked to make it easy for himself. Now I can understand it. And that clear understanding that he has, he then transmits to the student and makes it easy for them. That's what teachers do, if they're good teachers. If they don't understand it, then of course they're confused and all they can give is confusion. But if things are made easy, this affords facility for the person who has made them easy, and also for others who follow the same principles. So Prabhupada has said, it is easy for those who follow the same principles. So when Prabhupada has said, devotional service is easy, it is not easy for those who do not follow the same principles. But if we can commit ourselves to following the principles in an exacting way, Prabhupada goes so far as to use an unfashionable word, rigid, rigidly follow the principles of devotional service, then it becomes easy. And then that formidable ocean of material existence, from which very few people escape, goes through its incredible shrinking act. And then you just step over it. Vatsa padam, govatsa padam. It becomes like that water in a calf's footprint. It is no longer threatening. There are no hurricanes or typhoons and monsters from the deep and all those other kinds of things. But if you're just paddling around in there, you're in trouble. Big trouble. The great white sharks and the huge waves and so on, they're going to get you every time. So this is the potency, these statements about the potency of devotional service cannot be regarded as exaggerations. They actually are true. So here we have at least the devatas offering prayers, and the same thing is confirmed by Shukadeva Goswami. And these are the list of Mahajanas given by Yamaraj, and the whole thing is delivered to us by Srila Prabhupada, who has passed on this principle of Krishna consciousness in a way that has made it easy for us to grasp. If we want to grasp it. So he's also made that boat. Anyway, you'll see the next verse talks about the lotus foot boat of the Mahajanas. Any questions about this? No. It's a nice verse, huh? Tarako Pratishta. That's from the Mahabharata. Tarako Pratishta Shrupeo Vabina Vasavrishi Yatta Matam Labinam Dharmasya Tattvam Nihitam Guhayam Mahajana Yena Gita Sapanta. My Prabhupada quotes it. He quotes usually you hear Mahajana Yena Gita Sapanta quite often, and quite often less often, but still frequently you hear Nasavrishi Yatta Matam Nabinam. But there are various other places so he quotes the whole thing. It's in this little verse book here, all of it. Yeah.
I hear coming up different purports. It's easy but difficult. Can you explain that? You know, devotion service, easy.
Well, easy means easy in comparison with Ashtanga Yoga, Jnana Yoga, all these other yogas. It's easy. In comparison with a dissolute life of sense gratification, you might find it a little hard. Prabhupada said easy all the time, and then I realized saying easy to Americans might be misunderstood. It means you pop it in the microwave oven and 60 seconds later it's done. Know that that's great. I chant a few rounds and I'm liberated. Great. I can go on sinning. It's so easy, right? That's what we're looking for. But see, easy does not mean cheating. So what everybody has been done is they've been cheated. Cheaters are people who want something for nothing. So, in every case, people who are swindled, there's just some news item about the biggest export, or the biggest import of money coming into Nigeria seems to be from scams. Nigeria's produced huge amounts of scam artists. In fact, I got two letters came here from somebody in Nigeria who claimed to be a government minister and had a deal that was going to make ISKCON rich, and I had to sit on Sadaruchi to keep him from responding. But people they do these big scams where you're going to make a huge amount of money from the government of Nigeria, and then you start having to put money up front, a little more money up front, a little more money up front, and then the whole thing disappears, you know. And the deal collapses, and you're out of money, you can't, and the phones don't answer, and so on. So like they maybe think $1 billion a year is coming into Nigeria from this huge scam operations. Where apparently in the stationery shops you can buy government letterhead stationery and stamps and everything for doing this scam. This is, so people who are victims of these scams are people who are, they're all of them criminals themselves. In other words, they get cheated because there's cheaters, and the cheaters say to them, you know, it's just like these guys in the airport that go up to you with these watches that say Rolex and everything, and I'm going to give you a Rolex watch for only $100. And what they do to make you think that you're not being cheated is, shh, be quiet, come over here. You think they're stolen goods. You think the reason they can offer you a genuine Rolex watch for only $100 or $200 is that they're actually stolen. So your heart leaps up because you're going to get this good deal. Now you're going to participate. You've become a receiver of stolen goods. So you're a cheater. And therefore you get cheated. It's actually, you know, a cheap, some cheap thing made somewhere in Malaysia. You know, that's got, you know, it's cost all of $5 to manufacture, and you spent $200 or $100 for a $5 watch. So that's how you, that's how they get you, because you think you're getting something for nothing. And to understand why, you can understand that this person is able to offer you this deal because it's stolen goods, or somewhere along the line is cheating. So the Prabhupada, when he talks about the cheaters and the cheated, that the cheaters themselves are also cheated. How do you think somebody's going to be able to offer you something like this? You're going to get this deal. So anyone who gets taken on these scams, inevitably they are being invited, not inevitably, but in most cases, especially big financial scams, inevitably they're being invited to themselves engage in some illegal activity that you can get away with, and you're going to just help me do this, I got this fail-proof scheme. This always happens. That's how you get cheated, because you're a cheater. And just the mentality that I want something very, very valuable, but I want it for nothing, you're a sucker. And that's the cheating mentality. So that's what it is easy. You know, the floating around are all these easy yoga processes, which basically promise you liberation, but without having to go through the inconvenience of any austerities or any tapasya or any discipline or a very minimum amount. And you're there. So all these people are fools. And they're suckers. And of course it's easy. So compared to them, Krishna consciousness looks a little hard, because we are not cheating. We're not cheating. That's why it looks hard. But of all non-cheating processes, real dharma, Krishna consciousness is easy. That's a fact. So it's easy to get cheated, easier to get cheated maybe. But the cheaters stay here. Don't go back home to Godhead. And ultimately, there's more austerity in birth and death than there is in the little austerity we have to perform to go back home, back to Godhead. We should remember that. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.